The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show, presented by our friends at Parmar and also the Masters Law Firm. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church Studio today with Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, and the GOAT, number 22, Avon Coburn. Gentlemen, welcome back. Good to see you guys, and it's especially good to see you guys after a West Virginia win.
If you say so. If you say so,
man. Are you disgruntled today?
I am. I'm a disgruntled fan. It hurts my heart, man.
Why? Because you picked against West Virginia last week?
I did, man. And the whole
I wrote it down right here on the it's permanent.
Yeah, we had to write that down. First time
10-22-23 Avon picks UCF.
That hurt me, man.
That's the first time I've ever seen him pick against the Mountaineers ever.
I was so pissed, man. Just so pissed and about the whole thing. The whole time I'm watching that game, I'm like, I want us to win, but I'm like, I picked us to lose. But I'm like, why the hell did I do that? Like, I just betrayed everybody that I love. I felt like I just kicked the baby.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about it. I don't think there were very many Mountaineer fans that truly believed West Virginia would win yesterday, because all four of us took Central Florida.
Yeah.
You know, West Virginia was not favored in that game, and of all the games that were left, they were not favored in that game, and they weren't favored in Oklahoma coming up. So to go on the road and get a victory, you know, they won yesterday over the 2017 national champions. Yeah. Is that what they were?
That's what they claim.
Yeah.
I think they would have had a shot. Maybe not. They had speed, though. They had so much speed.
They weren't going to beat Alabama. Alabama had Devonta Smith and God Jalen Waddle and who knows else, that Jerry Jeudy. I mean, Alabama was loaded that year.
But you know what, and you're probably going to get into it. You can actually tell a great team from a good team. I don't know if any of you seen that UCLA game last night.
Yeah, UCLA dominated up front.
I mean, I've never seen a game where they were meeting at the quarterback as much as they were. That it was hard to watch because like, damn, they're killing Shador. Like, oh my, it was hard to watch.
That's where people across the country that like follow the sport closely were trying to warn everybody that Colorado on the offensive line was not as great. I mean, Shador does a good job of masking it, but I mean, he's also getting pummeled back there every game. He's getting hit like at every single game, but UCLA is a little better than he's seen even to this point.
I'm telling you I felt bad for him, man. Like, he was getting the dog duty beat out of him.
That's what happens when you play quarterback.
They seriously may not win another game.
We'll get into that. I've got them on the sheet here, but let's get into West Virginia. 41-28 over Central Florida in the third overall meeting. They sold out game. They said there was like 44,000 in attendance. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some of the UCF people didn't show up because they were – you know, they're disappointed down there. They thought they were going to make the transition to the Big 12. And
Some of them preseason thought they'd just come in and roll right through.
I picked them third. I was way off the mark on that one.
They're rolling right through, all right. They ain't got a win yet.
Yep.
I think they'll beat Cincinnati, probably.
The newcomers are combined 3-17. Tough sledding so far for them.
Yeah. First of all, let's talk about – listen to the – check this out. So we went for weeks scoring – 15, 19, 20. Man, we are on what I call an offensive explosion under the tutelage of Neil Brown. 39, 34, and 41 points put up in the last three games. Do we owe him an apology?
No.
No, because last time we did that, we apologized to Jordan Leslie, and then he ruined it the following week. it's a probationary period. Okay, 6-3 is for real. Right now, we're happy about Saturday.
Yeah. The reason I say no is because Houston, Central Florida, they're not great defensively, and neither is Oklahoma State. I want to see him do it against a legitimate defense. You roll up 38 against Oklahoma, then yeah, I'll say we owe him like we owe him an apology, but I haven't seen it yet.
And I say no as well because, I mean, our defense, you know, they were catching pillows yesterday. I mean, putting you in great field position. I mean, the guy was throwing up like punts. I mean, punts aren't easy to catch, but I mean, they wasn't hard interceptions that we got and turnovers. I mean, our defense was making plays, getting them in good field. They weren't going 70, 80 yards, you know, putting together drives. So I'm not gonna crown him yet.
Wow.
Yesterday showed it was the return of C.J. Donaldson, 17 carries, 121 yards, one touchdown. First time I think he's gone over 100 since maybe Pitt.
Yeah.
Avon, but did you get to reach out to Mr. Donaldson this week?
I didn't. To be honest with you, I didn't. I knew he would show up because of the competition in the room. But again, I don't think he really did have a great game. I mean, his stats show it. You know, he got a lot of, you know, he got like two explosive plays on a fourth down, which, you know, and he kind of, you know, I don't think he still is there, but I do know the pressure. He felt that pressure.
You think the benching, the not starting, maybe motivated him a little bit yesterday?
Oh, for sure. For 100%. I mean, again, it's warranted. Like, he's not playing at a high level.
He busted that long run late to put him over 102, mm-hmm. about a 35-yarder there at the end of the game. I thought he was better yesterday, but I also thought it might have been from where Central Florida may not be as good defensively against the run as others that we faced. You've run for 291 as a team. When you run for 291 yards, you're generally going to win a football game. Sure. And that's what West Virginia did. I mean, Green, Donaldson, and I believe it was Johnson, they all three ran the ball well. White also had a couple. Yeah. They all ran the ball fairly well. I mean, you know, so I wasn't surprised that Donaldson had some success yesterday.
Jaheim White finished the day 85 yards with a touchdown. You can see he's a difference maker. He's different style of back, and he's definitely just quick to the hole. He's, you know, you got a power back and you have a speed back, and that's a good combination for.
It was fun. It was fun to watch and to see the two on his back. I was like, wow, that is. I love to see that. But I mean, he's a talent. Yeah, they should. He has a talent, man. He has a talent. Like I enjoyed watching him. And you know, Johnson as well. He made some plays as well. But the young guy stuck out. Like he's gonna be really good.
Yeah, it's good to see the coaching staff trusting him and going to him nine times, I think, during the game. And yeah, it gives us a different dimension, a different burst. You guys should get together and have like a number 22 lunch or something.
On me, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, is that illegal anymore?
No, you're good.
We're good. No.
It might be. Let's be real. It might be.
You should give him one of your Jaguars.
Yeah. They may come after you for that. Oh, you gave this kid a ride in the rain. How dare you?
Jesus. The MVP yesterday for me, Garrett Green, hands down. First of all, I thought he broke his ankle.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what that was, yeah.
I mean, he looked to be out, and I thought, honestly, I thought he was out for the season. It just the way it looked. But he comes back in after whatever. What happened? What was the – see, I missed the play with the one play Nico got in. Did he turn it over?
Yeah, I missed that too. How did we all miss that play too?
I saw it. I don't know if Michael saw it or not. Did you see it, Michael?
I jumped inside the tent. I did watch the play, yeah.
A hook and ladder. You put your second-string quarterback play. And you run a hook and ladder. Why? Like, you don't need it there. I mean, even if you just run the ball up the middle and punt, that's fine. A hook and ladder on 3rd and 8. Now, luckily, the defense made a play next and got the ball right back.
Right.
But, yeah, they ran a hook and ladder, and now the pass was complete, and when he pitched it back, the ball was juggled. Now, I mean, it probably would have worked if the kid would have caught it. But, like, I don't think that you need to run a hook and ladder to beat Central Florida. I think you can run your normal offense. There's no trick plays necessary, especially at that point in the game.
Mox, what was that?
Jeez, your simple dummy-os can't run a draw play.
Yeah. I tell you what, I thought Garrett Green, I think he's been the difference in the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just been able to move the chains with his feet. And I went back. I made a comment last week, and I was like, well, was I on with that? Because I said that he is putting up what I call Pat White type of numbers. You know, he's throwing the ball less than 20 times, but he's running the ball 15 to 20 times, running for 150 yards, throwing for 185. Pat did that, although there were days when you go back and look at stats, Pat would bust out for like 248 versus Syracuse. So I'm waiting on that day, but an average week, this is the type of stuff Pat White would do. But he's able to move the chains with his feet, so he's been effective for me.
Yeah, the top speed with Pat kind of gives him the ability to break away more so. But, yeah, that running dimension gives West Virginia a lot. I think guys still got to make more plays for him downfield, especially Devin Carter. Drops have been a problem. But, yeah, overall he's played well.
I thought the first throw of the game should have been a touchdown. He should have let it go sooner. He didn't. I know you all probably remember the first throw. It was underthrown. Dude was wide open. But overall, I thought he was okay. I mean, he played well enough. And I still think he on those rollout passes, he's very good rolling out.
I think he's better rolling out than he is in the pocket.
He is much better rolling out than he is in the pocket. And as far as a game MVP, I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to go with Beanie Bishop. He picked off two passes deep in West Virginia territory to give the ball back to the offense. So I would go with him before I went with Green, but not that Green was bad or anything. It's just I think Bishop, I would give it to Bishop.
Yeah, I would. That's exactly where I was going to. I mean, I think Green is playing well. I mean, he is making a difference in our wins right now because he's making plays. I mean, he's not hitting every throw, but he is making plays with his feet. But if we're going to say in MVP, I got to go with somebody on defense. And you know, Beanie's one. Koba actually showed up. He was missing last week. I don't know. Not this game, but the
Oklahoma State.
Yeah. I didn't see him at all. Like, and that's where you think your linebacker is going to hit this big dude in the mouth.
Yeah.
And he got missing on us. But
a forced fumble was big.
Yo, that was huge. That right there was a turning point in the game. Because, I mean, they already had, what, three turnovers at that point?
Yep.
And I think we got three, and then we got 14. So we got, 20 points from that? And then that one right there was the nail. And then
the West Virginia defense yesterday, good to see them back on the field. We had a couple interceptions and a funky interception. I've never heard an interception deemed funky. I think Twitter thought he said something else.
I think it's because it bounced off the dude's chest, then hit his foot, and then popped up in the air. And I believe it was Bishop that got that.
Yeah,
one.
It was.
Well, we were at that guys night out thing, and I don't know. I was kind of bouncing around, and when you're at that thing, it's hard to sit down and focus anyway. So I get a text message, and somebody puts in there. It's like, "What is an effing interception?" And I was like, texting back. I was like, "Huh?" And he never texts back. So I get in the car on the way home. I'm like, what are you?
There's people that actually thought he said the F word on air.
So, and I hope he did.
I hope he did, too.
Adds a little flavor to the game.
He's probably mad he had that game.
You know, I got to tip my hat to the defense. You know, finally catching balls and taking advantage of opportunities to create turnovers. I mean, I can't remember the number. I can't remember how many interceptions they have, but they dropped four in one game. They've probably dropped seven interceptions this year.
At least.
Yeah, minimum seven. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. And they played so. I mean, well, the first drive that it looked like it was going to be a track meet, and then after that, you know, they started playing a little bit better, I'm just looking at it as we're progressing.
They are what they are. We know they're not great, but we all spoke earlier in the season and said, we know it's not a great defense, but you have to take the ball away. Yesterday is a prime example of how they need to play. If you force four turnovers on defense, you've done a pretty solid job. Even though with the 28 points that they gave up, you still forced four turnovers. That's four opportunities to give your offense. So, I mean, to me, that's how they're going to have to play. They're going to give up a lot, but if you can get big plays like that and force turnovers, it's huge, and that's what this defense needs to do.
Yeah, I saw Neil say that they kind of went back to little league fundamentals with their DBs and just worked on, if it's high, catch it this way. If it's low, turn the palms the other way. Sometimes you got to do that.
Yeah, teach my kids. Pinkies, diamonds.
DDP.
That's right.
And the four horsemen. And the Rock, yeah.
The Rock is in the building.
I know we already talked about him, but Beanie Bishop yesterday, two interceptions, finished the game with four tackles and a pass breakup, played a hell of a game.
I think the four picks are like top five nationally for an individual player.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, he played – man, it's good to see – we have, he got mossed one time, too, which was terrible. But, I mean, he's a baby. He's not like he's 6'2". He got mossed, but he made some plays that, just catching a football. Like, That's the biggest thing that you need to do on defense.
The good thing is he might have got mossed, but he didn't let that bother him the rest of the game. Like, right. You can't. A corner, in my opinion, is one of the hardest positions to play probably on the whole field, because that wide receiver knows where he's going. That quarterback knows where that wide receiver's going. If you don't get pressure, then that cornerback is just out there on an island by himself guessing. So it was good that he came back and he showed some resilience. Even though he got beat a couple times, he still made some big plays. So that's a plus. I mean, you got to have a short memory when you play that position.
And it's good to see a transfer land. I think since Tony Fields, he might be our best defensive transfer.
Yeah, he and Koka both yeah, good transfers.
Yeah, he's in the conversation. Yeah.
There's a part of the game I call hidden numbers, and that's basically comes in special teams, and I'm sure you're familiar with that. And I got this Jed Drenning. Do you guys follow him on Twitter at all?
I do, but I don't know if I actually follow him, but I see his stuff.
Super smart guy, right? So I stole this from him, and it actually, remember Dusty Rutledge? Mm-hmm. He talked about hidden
Roadhouse.
Yeah. We get Big Dust. He talked about hidden numbers all the time. So in the punting game yesterday, the punter punted twice for over 40 yards per, and Drenning put out the stat that he's only one of four punters in Power 5 to pin double-digit punts inside the 20 without a touchback. Hmm. So he's putting guys, he's pinning, and he's putting your defense in a better position.
Yeah, longer
drives that they got to sustain, and that lessens the percentage of scoring. The further back you are, obviously, your percentages drop. So good job on the punting game, the field goal kicker, Michael Hayes, not the Michael Hayes from the Freebirds and pro wrestling. But I wish it was. He's 9-10 on the season, and he's 9-9, anything under 50. So
special teams are extremely important. I know we always used to laugh at Lou Holtz every week. I'm telling you, he was right, though. There'll be 15 special teams plays, and they'll decide the game, and you wouldn't think about it, but then like somebody would return a punt for a touchdown and beat you, you'd be like, oh, he was right again.
Yeah. Well, let's look ahead a little bit. West Virginia's sitting at 5-3. Actually, they've hit the over on the Vegas over-under this year. So if you had over 4.5, I believe Vegas put it at.
I did have them over. I had 5.
Did you cash your ticket yet?
I didn't bet it.
Come on.
I don't ever bet it.
I was going to tell you, I wear size 13. I was expecting some new shoes.
I don't bet it, because as soon as I bet it, they'd have went 1-11.
Yeah. Just looking ahead, BYU at Oklahoma, Cincinnati at home, and at Baylor. I mean, none of these teams are good. Well, Oklahoma.
But
they're beatable.
But how good? Yeah, that's the thing. The last 2 weeks, Oklahoma has not looked great. I mean, Kansas is pretty good. I'll give them that. But they struggled with Central Florida. I'm beginning to wonder if Oklahoma, I don't know, like there might be something like amiss again with them, because like they did beat Texas. But if you look at the rest of their schedule, they really haven't played a great team. Kansas is a pretty good team. I'll give them that. But like they didn't look good against Central Florida. Then they come out there against Kansas and lose.
That Central Florida game, I think that was more of a rivalry, because they took their quarterback. So they're going to play a little tougher.
And it's up and down too, though, as the season goes. You're going to have peaks and valleys. So it's a long year. But Oklahoma, when you look at that remaining schedule, it's manageable. We said October, West Virginia should have gone undefeated. Well, instead they go 1-2. You've got 4 games left in November. 3 of them are very winnable, in my opinion. And the fourth, I don't know what to expect when they go to Oklahoma. I don't know. It's irrelevant what I expect.
I expect them to lose.
I expect them to lose as well. But 3 of those games, you can say West Virginia is probably – they're favored against BYU next Saturday. I know that. They'll be a dog at Oklahoma. They'll be favored against Cincinnati, and they may be favored against Baylor.
Puts them at 8-5.
8-4.
Or 8-4 on the season.
And you know what? I don't think that's still good enough. Like, I mean, we're going to be 8-4 – which is, I mean, winning.
If you get to 8-4.
Right. I mean, and there's no reason why we can't, but that's still not good enough because of the games you lost. It just burns you. Like, how do you lose to a team that's getting beat by 40 by everybody else?
It's frustrating because, like, you're right to the extent that 8-4, like, checks a box for a coach. It shows on paper that you did your job. But that doesn't mean that somebody else couldn't take the program from here and would be in better shape.
And, you know, we're looking at the 8-4 if you get there and you say, but then like as a program, yesterday is a nice win. I'm excited when West Virginia wins. I don't care if they beat West Virginia State. I'm excited when West Virginia wins. However, Like, don't act like this is some huge program-changing win. Because it is not. This is a Group of Five team that came into a power conference. They have yet to win a power conference game this season. They are 0-5. And you win the game, which they won as an underdog. You can consider it an upset. I'm putting upset in quotes because, to me, even though I picked Central Florida to win, I expect West Virginia to beat Central Florida. My expectations of West Virginia football are, hey, we'll beat Central Florida. They'll beat Houston. They'll beat teams like that. Now, Oklahoma, that's a different story. Texas, that's a different story. The program in itself, and you say 8-4, 8-4. Well, technically, in my book, the Houston game is really bad. That's a terrible loss. That should put you at 6-2, and then you lose to Oklahoma State at home. Now, Oklahoma State has played better, but you were favored in that game. If you win those two games, in which both you were favored, you're 7-1, you're ranked in the top 20, and you are in sole possession of first place in the Big 12. It's like a overall blown opportunity to me.
Let me phrase this one. What if we go 9-3? What if we win out? Is that are we believers at that point?
It is, and let me explain to you why.
Okay,
we're beating a team that we are not. I mean, that's what you're supposed to like. If we were to beat Penn State, that right there is a game program game changer.
Yeah,
we're not changing the program going 8-3, 8-4 because we're beating people that we're supposed to beat.
And you lost the game you should have lost.
Yeah, and we lost the game.
And that's where I want to see like the signature win. Who is the signature win? If you get Oklahoma, then I'll say absolutely, and you get the 9-3, I'll say, oh my goodness, he's doing it. Like that's a huge program changing win. But as of right now, like you look at it and you say, okay, you beat Central Florida. Well, they're 0-5 in the Big 12. Then you come back home and you beat BYU. You're like, well, okay, they're 2-4 in the Big 12. Then you lose to Oklahoma, which people's going to expect. Mm-hmm. Then you beat Cincinnati, who's yet to win a Big 12 game. And then you beat Baylor, who's Lord knows what they're doing right now. I don't even know what – they may fire their coach too. And so, I mean, like, you're waiting for that signature win, that program-changing moment. Like, I felt like Rich Rodriguez had it even in the loss to Miami you know who I'm talking about.
Quincy Wilson, yeah.
West Virginia didn't lose a game after that until the bowl game. Like, you felt the momentum kind of shift on the season, and you felt like, hey, they may have something here. And then, you know, they move forward. And then, like, you have those momentum-changing wins, and we haven't seen that yet with West Virginia and Neil Brown.
Right. And I don't think we will, because I just don't. And that's why I went against us, and it just killed me doing that. I'm watching this game, and I'm, like, internally dying. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe I went against my family. That's like me, again, kicking a baby. That is sad. You do not kick babies.
You've lost faith.
I did. I do. I mean, again, if we
– You have.
Yeah.
Gone to the dark side.
I have. But if we beat Oklahoma, who again, like you said, I'm they haven't been playing the best. But I mean, obviously they're a lot better than they were last year. But if we beat them, that will, and again, if we win the rest of our game,
Houston.
It makes up for Houston, and it puts us where we need to be. Because I mean, in my mind, we was at least supposed to win 10 games this year, minimum in my mind.
We were looking at it that way. We were, like you were talking about October, it looked like we were just going to knock them out one at a time, boom. And then boom, two losses.
And you go into November at 7-1, and we spoke of the three games, and you're looking at it and you're saying, hey, 10-2 is a legitimate possibility here with the remaining schedule, and instead you blow two games to two teams that were, quite frankly, both underdogs against you. And then you win a game as underdog. Maybe Vegas needs to just put us as an underdog. That's what we should petition for, and then we'll win every game. But
ultimately, though, the way Oklahoma State is playing now, I'm okay with the loss. I mean, I know you were a favorite going into it, but that was before we knew what they are now.
Right.
And so the ultimately, 2-1 in October should have been your record, and you didn't come out of it with it. And that's my problem. You lost a game you shouldn't have lost. So be it. But moving forward, again, here we are talking opportunity. There is an opportunity moving forward. Are they able to take advantage of it? Jump up to 9 wins, play in a bigger bowl, probably the Texas Bowl or whatever.
Who cares? If you get the 9 wins, you're going to be in a decent bowl, and it's going to show major progress because you will have that program changer in Oklahoma.
And you're in the championship game.
Possibly.
Possibly.
If we beat Oklahoma, we're in there.
Well, but Kansas State, I think, still only has a conference loss. Kansas has lost twice in conference. They've got two losses.
Texas
only has a conference loss. Right. Oklahoma, I don't know what Oklahoma State's lost in conference. They've only lost once, I think, to Iowa State. Yeah, because their other loss is South Alabama. It's the Big 12's jumbled at the top, and it's jumbled at the bottom, and the bottom of the four newcomers.
Mm-hmm. We're that's where it shouldn't be. I mean, we should be one step above than where we are
right now. If they'd have just beat Houston and Oklahoma State, they're in first place.
Right.
Hey, don't forget later on the radio show, which will be posted to our podcast platforms, we'll be doing the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. Jot this number down. Save it in your phone. 304. It's our new number. If you have the old one, delete it. Long story. 304-305-2-TDC. Again, that's 304-305-2832. Last week, the winner for that was, I thought I had it listed here. Maybe I didn't. She was from St. Albans. Let me look here. It's a podcast. We can just piddle around for a few minutes, right?
Absolutely.
As you piddle around.
Lindsay Ferris of St. Albans.
Good job. St. Albans.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Avon?
I was going to say, as you piddle around, I mean, my fantasy team is we won the last two games. We're 2-5. We're terrible.
You're not going
sounds
to the
like
bowl.
The, sounds we're like, not they, going sounds to the like bowl. They need to fire the coach.
Hey, easy, brother, easy. I can't help that, you know, my Cooper Kupp got in. And I got Cooper Kupp, he got hurt. And then I got friggin' Joe Burrow. I mean, I can't go out there and play for this guy.
Who's the GM? Fire that GM.
Yeah.
Leon can't make all the plays.
Leon can't make all the plays, baby. Yes.
So your three fumbles didn't contribute to the loss? Not if my teammates would have fell on them.
That's a great commercial. Let's go through a little bit of the Big 12 yesterday. Kansas over Oklahoma, 38-33. Great win for the Jayhawks. Stupid coaching at the end.
Oh, it was insane.
We talk about dumb coaching every week, so I thought I'd bring this up. Did you get to see the situation?
I did.
You know, obviously, you got the ball. I think Oklahoma had two timeouts left. You've got the ball inside the 10. It's basically run it twice, make them blow their timeouts, kick it and win it. And what do they do? If you're the coach, you say to them, on this first play, if it feels like they're letting you go, take a knee at the one.
Right.
And then make them burn a timeout. And actually, that game would have not got you. I think I watched it play out. I think you need – if you they burn that timeout right there, the last two plays don't even happen. That's how important things like that are.
The thing is, though, is if he'd have done that and then the guy misses a field goal, everybody explodes. Why do you play for a field goal, score a touchdown?
No, I'm talking about just on the first down.
I know. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, congratulations to Kansas, though. They've improved leaps and bounds with Leipold. He's doing an amazing job. That's a huge win. There's a signature win for Kansas' program. Yes. Like, that's what we're waiting on here.
See him carrying the goalpost.
And they threw it in the swamp.
Is that what they did with it?
Yeah, and then there was kids jumping in and everything. They were having a ball. It was like 40 degrees there.
Watch out for alligators.
Cold. Yeah, but
no alligators out there.
I don't think there was alligator out there. It was 40, yeah. But, you know, congratulations to Kansas. That's a massive win for their program.
Signature.
You know, that quarterback, we talk about Daniels, but Bean, when he comes in, man, that kid is really good, too.
I like him.
I like him more as a passer. He's a better passer than Daniels, but Daniels is just a more complete.
I think Daniels is done out there.
He's going somewhere else next year. He's going to transfer.
I heard he's coming to West Virginia.
Oh, boy.
Start that rumor.
But huge win for Kansas.
I mean, so I did hear that he's coming, and Rich Rod's coming back with him.
Sweet.
I mean,
Sign me up. Let's see here. Oklahoma State over Cincinnati, 45-13. Ollie Gordon, 271 yards rushing, two touchdowns. In the algebra, in the math equals beast.
Boss.
That dude's a monster.
Hey, you know who? Watching him play, he reminds me of Larry Johnson from Penn State. I was like, man, this dude, nobody wants to tackle this guy.
He's already over 1,000 yards on the season. He's a sophomore.
Well, he's ran for 550 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. Yeah.
And I checked it, and I'm going to go back and double check it. I believe he's only 19 years old.
They're trying to tire him out. That's what they're doing. Big 12's trying to tire him out for the end
just
of the year.
Just let him run.
Just let him go.
Yeah, Oklahoma State, they always get good running backs, and he's a load. Like, I was able to get down to the field for his last one where we just kind of hugged him at the line of scrimmage, and then he ran into the end zone last week, And yeah, he's unstoppable. He came like right at me directly, and he can move.
And
too.
He's a big dude, man.
That's how our big guy should run.
Yes,
you know what I mean, our big guy should. I mean, he don't have his. He doesn't have super quick twitch, but he has a burst. Like I just.
What did he have? 271 last 271. Night and 283 against W. So 554 in 2 weeks.
And he's just getting started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oklahoma's next.
Yeah, so
that'll
be a good that'll be an interesting game next week to see how what the Sooners do to try to stop him.
And the last bedlam, and it's in Stillwater. That's going to be a wired up crowd.
Oh yeah, wonder what time have they announced the time?
I think they have. I think it's 3:30. I mean,
why did they put our game at 7 and put that game when you got a stud? I mean, why are we at 7 o'clock?
Are we BYU's prime time?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Who didn't have that one? The Cougars-Mountaineers rivalry.
That'll draw hundreds across the country.
I did not have that for 7, and it actually puts me out of attending.
Me too.
What they're trying to do, though, is they're trying to showcase probably one game in prime time. And you got Washington and Southern Cal, who they're wanting to – like, that's who they want the people to watch.
Yeah.
Good point.
Oh, no, and Alabama, LSU, excuse me, they play as well next Saturday.
So we got buried, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's all right. UCLA over Colorado, we talked about that earlier, 28-14. The Buffs need two more wins to be bowl eligible, and I looked at their schedule, and it doesn't look good. I think they still have Oregon State.
They play Utah. They play Oregon State. They play Arizona, mm-hmm. and they play is it Washington State?
Probably.
I think it's Washington State. I don't think they win another game.
Mm. So no bowl for Deion.
I'm surprised he hasn't shored up the defense more, given that he's a Hall of Fame DB. Like you'd think that would have been the strength.
Do you see his DBs, man?
Sometimes it's just
boys are balling.
Hunter picks two passes last night. The first one was amazing. He got two picks. I don't think the defense is necessarily the problem. What the problem is the defense is out there all game long because the offense can't get a first down.
They're 3-0.
They're no offensive line whatsoever. Can't move the ball.
Bro, did you watch that game?
Didn't catch it.
It looked like you were back there trying to block a 300-pound. I mean, think about you trying to block a 300-pound lineman.
It felt like Sanders got hit. He got hit every at play. One point. It was in the third quarter, and they flashed it up. He had been knocked down 17 times.
Were they dancing over him, though?
They were, though.
They were a little bit.
It was –
Yeah,
It's not his fault, though. I mean, he's a beast.
I'm talking about all the extracurricular, flashing the Rolex, all the shit that they do.
Hang on.
Do they, though? They're 4-4. Do they got it?
Well, not them. Not them. I'm saying him.
But as a team, they're kind of acting like the 1988 Miami Hurricanes. And if you're going to act that way, you better back it up. Because you're going to get those annex from other
teams. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's going to come back.
It's going to come back, won't you?
Yeah. So upsets yesterday. Georgia Tech with their second upset of the season. They beat UNC yesterday 46-42. And, of course, they got that bonehead win over the Hurricanes early in the season. Georgia Tech's 4-4. They need two more wins to be bowl eligible. And that is, while it shouldn't be the toughest job in the country, they can never quite get it going down there.
I mean, you got to be.
You're right in Atlanta.
Yeah, you're in Atlanta, but that is probably one of the toughest schools to get into.
Yeah.
And you know, for you to get a player to play at Georgia Tech, that's hard to get in there.
And not to mention, you're downtown Atlanta with the Braves, the Falcons. They have a hockey team. I'm not sure if it's the Thrashers, and they have the Hawks. So it's kind of a pro town, and you're in the middle of downtown Atlanta. Hard job, difficult job. And the crazy thing is they're 4-4. They've beaten North Carolina and Miami, and they've lost to Bowling Green. How do you lose to Bowling Green?
Well, they weren't supposed to beat Miami, for one.
But
North Carolina, I didn't see the game last night, but
46-42. Crazy.
Wow.
Shootout. That's how North Carolina plays, though. You can lose to anybody when your defense is like that, and you can be anybody when your offense is like that.
Oh, Mac Brown down there at North Carolina. Coastal Carolina over Marshall, 34-6. They put in Pennington's boy yesterday. He was not ready to play. They've been calling for him. You know, who's the most popular guy on every roster?
Backup QB, yeah. Now we know Nico's just kind of meh.
They stuck him
same
in.
Same situation.
And he wasn't ready.
No, hold on. Time out. Let's back up.
I was the one saying that. I was wrong on
we
that
need
one.
Nico. Yeah, like, no, bro. We don't need Nico. We need an offense that is going to run the football with the quarterback.
It's funny that they're calling for Charles Huff.
I was about to say, is the heat turning up on Huff?
Yeah. I saw people, they're so desperate to get rid of him in their groups, because I'm in a bunch of these different college groups. They're wanting Rich Rod in Huntington.
My thing with it is,
it's a parallel move.
The thing is, though, is like, I'm looking, and I'm not just speaking with Marshall here, because Houston did the same thing. Houston fired Major Applewhite. Holgerson's years haven't been as good as Applewhite's. You know, Marshall fired Doc Holliday. The first 3 years of Huff so far have not been as good as Doc Holliday's last three. What are you doing as these schools? Like, you got to be careful if you fire coaches and things like that. And I know we always talk about firing Coach Brown all the time, and that's a, you know, that's a completely different story altogether.
Fire Neil Brown, WV.com.
But like, you fire these coaches, and then, like, you know, you look around and you get a guy and you say, okay, he's going to do a great job. And then he comes in and it's not the greatest job. And you're like, now what do you do?
Yeah, they wanted rid of Doc, and what, he only won a couple of
conference championships.
Here's the thing. And I don't, man, I hate to even go out on this road. Marshall fans, you think West Virginia fans live in 19 or 2008, 7-6? Marshall fans think that Randy Moss is still on the field and Bob Pruitt's still the coach down there. They live in that era. And if it doesn't match, here's the thing. Marshall fans, you were cheating, period.
Yeah.
They were cheating. And that's how they got all this.
There's no way Marshall gets a Randy Moss.
Well, like, they got him by default.
Yeah, but still, you pay for that.
They got him by default. But
literally, with cash.
But they were down there cheating, and it caught up to them. And now, for some reason, they still think that they can live in that. And it's not going to happen in – not that I'm saying you shouldn't be competitive in the Sun Belt. You should. You've got enough history to be there. But if Doc Holliday only wins the conference championship every other year, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. They got rid of him after a 10-win season because his quarterback started to play terribly and they lost like the last three games. But it was such an overreaction.
It's just, I mean, you know, I think a lot of schools do this, and you see it because of the way everyone is now, and, like, I mean, I'm this way as well because I always talk about it too, but, like, you overreact every single week. But the thing is with these coaches is they're making so much money, you demand results. And, I mean, if I'm a Marshall fan, I'm probably on the Fire Huff bandwagon because we're not getting the results for the money we're paying.
But didn't they beat Notre Dame?
I mean, but like that,
they followed that up with a loss to
Bowling Green. They went to Bowling Green the next week and lost.
Second time. Who had Bowling Green on the bingo card twice today?
Yeah, no doubt. Bowling Green, man. Speaking of when they had Randy Moss, guess who beat him? Bowling Green.
Randy was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
He's all right.
He's
all
an okay guy.
West Virginia, BYU, under the lights in Morgantown. It's the game of the century.
Hundreds will tune in.
The biggest game since the 93 Miami game. The Mormons are invading Morgantown.
I don't think they're going to like Morgantown.
I saw something on... I can't see
them bringing a lot of people. But you know what? They're a lot like Notre Dame. They're, you know, the religious-based school. They're everywhere.
Yeah, it's Mormons.
So they'll draw.
No. I got my Mounties back, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all of my people that love me and love my Mountaineers. And I swear I felt like the whole – I wanted to call you guys and say, hey, let's do the radio show, right? We got to redo it. The game started, and I was like, we got to redo this. Because I was on record saying that we were going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Too late. Oh, that hurt my heart. But my Mounties going to show up and show up. And make some plays.
I think WVU wins as well. That's a scary thought. We all four picked against them last week. This week, we all four picked with them.
How do you think that the Mormons that are there will react to the WVU tailgates?
That's why I said I don't think they're going to like Morgantown. They're probably. I don't know if they. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where a school that's comparable that they've ever visited. I mean, I'm sure they have, and we just don't know. But, like, this is a major party school compared to BYU. Like, they're going to be. I think they might be in a little bit of shock.
You remember the last time we played them in D.C.?
I forgot we have played them before. It was 2016.
I went to that game, and my seats were in the end zone. So in the first quarter, I'm like, I'm going to go get a beer. So I go over to the West Virginia side and stand in line for 30 minutes and buy a beer, come back, drink my beer, and my mom goes, well, I think I want one. I was like, well, I'll go get another one. So this time I was like, I'm going to the BYU side.
They probably didn't have no a soul in line. Yeah.
So you walked all the way over there for that?
Oh, yeah. It saved me time.
What, yeah. I mean, didn't you put that? Didn't you understand? There's not going to be any BYU. The West Virginia yeah. people's coming over there.
They weren't smart enough to figure it out. But here's the thing, man. Excuse me. The night game. Listen, man. They'll be tuned up there.
Oh, for sure.
I think BYU's fans will be like, oh my god. I think people are a bit of a surprise.
People are avoiding the blue lot. I'm one of them. I guess I'm just getting to that age where all that jumping off of truck beds and through tables and chugging beers and smashing them together, that shit is over for me. Like, I don't want to be – don't spill beer on my jacket.
So you're in the light blue lot now.
I'm way far – as far – man, I'm so far away. I'm on the other end of the stadium, and I'm old and crotchety.
I am in the silver lot now.
Anthony's showing up at 6:45 for the 7 o'clock kick and walking in.
Listen, I'm so bougie, I rent my own toilet so I don't have to stand in line. I don't like to wait.
I sit at home because I don't even like to deal with people.
I don't like to wait in lines. If anybody knows me personally, I'm not very patient. So I wanted to go
to the game, man. I wanted to go, but when they said 7 o'clock, I'm like, I cannot go to a 7 o'clock game.
That's
like,
a 2:30. That's getting home at 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
I mean, I thought for sure this was noon kick.
I thought for sure. 100%.
Cincinnati, Baylor, and this one were all. I was like, those are set for noon.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. Well, hey, before we go, I want to remind you guys, don't forget, November 11th, the Sugar Bowl Foundation will be hosting their annual event. Buffalo Wild Wings Nitro Marketplace special guest, Owen the Runaway Beer Truck Schmidt. Owen's been doing a good job online. He's been sharing it. Usually the guys don't share it too much. They don't get into the promotion of it, but Owen is...
Do you tag them?
I do. I mean, obviously they know they're coming, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm defending myself because I didn't... I mean, when I was tagged, I'm always going to share it, but... I think you need to tag them. I mean, obviously, Schmitty's a promotional guy, yeah. So,
good for him. I appreciate him doing that. And I mean, hey, look, man, these guys take time out of their schedule to come, so I appreciate it. But don't forget, November 11th, you can get information at the sugarbowlfoundation.org. I did get a text, apparently, the donation button. I don't know, something, the link is off. I've got the web guy working on it. If you're going to make a donation, it doesn't work, just shoot me a text, 304, what is our number now? 304-305-2832, and I'll get that information to you. All right, thanks for checking out the Touchdown City Show podcast this week. Oh, we forgot to talk about basketball.
Yeah.
We'll do that on the radio show.
Huggs is coming.
Yeah, Bob Huggins.
He was in the house yesterday. It was awesome.
Yeah, good to see him. So if you guys missed the announcement, starting November 7th, we're going to be doing a show called Full Court Press. It'll be myself. We're just trading Avon for Bob Huggins.
That's a good trade.
Damn.
Wow.
Well, okay. Don't take it that way. I'm just saying.
I understood what you meant. Yeah, it's quality trade. Trade for trade.
It's not even a trade. We're just switching gears. Different topic.
Yeah.
It's a comparable person to sit in the seat where Avon's at for basketball.
Thank you. You're giving me a little bit too much credit there compared to the GOAT. Like, I mean, when I heard that Huggy was there, I was freaking like, oh my goodness. Like, I'm a fan. Like, I love to hang out with, I don't know if you ever did, but I love to hang out with Huggy. He's just a genuine dude.
Yeah. He's, looks good, sounds good, in a good place mentally. Have you seen the pictures of him? He's dropped about 40 pounds.
Yeah, I seen him at the game where he went to a game.
He went to the basketball game Friday night.
Seen him walking down. I was like, man, that's a shell.
And then he was at Guys Night Out. He popped in yesterday to help support the cause and also spread the word about the show. So it's getting a good response. If you have questions or need any information on that, check it out at pressvirginia.com. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com.
The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.